for anyone who's listening and feels like crypto is intimidating, there are so many women who are here to welcome you with open arms in the space. And if I could go from nothing to founder in the space in 6 months, I guarantee that anyone else can do that.
Whether you are a Web3 expert or a total NFT newbie, today's episode is one you won't want to miss. Thanks for joining us. I'm Anu Dugal, and you're listening to the 2% Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Female Founders Fund portfolio founder Lisa Mayer of Boss Beauties, a women-led global NFT initiative with huge momentum, alongside fellow Boss Beauties strategic investor Randy Zuckerberg. Tune in for an intro to NFTs, candid Web3 web insights, and predictions from an investor and founder perspective, as well as onboarding advice for newcomers in the space, especially women who feel intimidated with where to begin. There's a lot to cover, so let's get started.
Lisa and Randy, welcome. So exciting to have you both on the 2% Podcast. Let's start with, where are we finding you both today? Lisa?
I'm working remote. I love the remote work environment that we have right now. It's amazing.
And where are you based?
I'm based in New York City and also Connecticut sometimes, leaving the city a little bit.
And Randy?
I'm also in New York City. So I love that we're so close to one another, yet like do most of our correspondence remotely. But I guess I also text message my husband, who's in the same house as me. So not surprising.
Amazing. Amazing. So we're going to start off with some brief introductions and would love to hear you both share a little bit about your backgrounds, your career paths, where you're currently focused, and of course your relationship to each other. So, Randy, do you wanna start?
Sure. Well, I actually met Lisa several years ago when we were both working in Web 2. My career is kind of a wild one. I worked on the front lines at Facebook in the very early days of Web 2 and social media. I was in the Silicon Valley hustle for about a decade. And then I kind of just changed everything about my life all at once, moved to New York City, starred in a Broadway 80s rock musical, and then got into theatrical producing and the arts. So I know that is like a complete career 180. It made no sense to anyone in my life at the time until Web3 came around in this beautiful way where the arts and technology came together, and there was a real need for people who understood both those worlds. So for me, it's been this interesting, weird career journey that only now makes sense 20 years into it.
Amazing. And do you want to share a little bit more about in the world of Web3, you know, your focus?
Yes, absolutely. So my big focus, I got into Web3 as mostly a collector of NFTs, mm-hmm. and an investor in crypto. But I've always described myself as kind of a professional mom to entrepreneurs. I guess, you know, you can't take the mom out of someone. And I just kept gravitating towards these amazing female entrepreneurs in the space and, you know, wanting to be helpful in any way that I could from my own experiences with Web2. Lisa was just one of the most incredible female entrepreneurs in the space. So naturally, I, you know, really gravitated towards her and her work with Boss Beauties. And it's really exciting to be on this podcast together.
Amazing. Thank you for that. And Lisa?
Yeah, no, I'll jump in. Well, first of all, I'm honored to be here with both of you, two incredible women that excited to be working with on behalf of Boss Beauties. But yeah, I'll start a little bit. And Randy, I love how you mentioned, by the way, that you are kind of a professional mom to entrepreneurs. I totally see that. When you said it, I was envisioning that. But yeah, so I'm the co-founder and CEO of Boss Beauties, which we started about 6 months ago. It's crazy to think that it's only 6 months in that we started Boss Beauties and we've been on this journey. But I started Boss Beauties, you know, after about a decade of work mentoring and equipping the next generation of women and girls. So Gen Z women in college and high school, that's been my passion, is to mentor them and help them really build the career of their dreams. And then fast forward to about a year ago, I discovered the Web3 space and NFTs. I'd been following it a little bit. I mean, I'd always, of course, read about blockchain and how blockchain is changing so many industries and, you know, researching it. But really, it's about a year ago that I found NFTs. I'll share a little bit of the story later because I know we'll dive into that. But I'm so grateful that we found this space, and then we launched Boss Beauties really as an extension of all that work that we had been doing for a decade to mentor women. And we thought, you know, if other people are entering this space, it's a fast growing, evolving space. I know that we can enter that too and really bring that work in mentorship into NFTs. So that's a little bit of my background and really excited to share more of our story as we have this chat.
Amazing. Amazing. So, so just kind of building on that, Lisa, maybe you can share a little bit more about what got you excited in particular about NFTs, and then kind of led to the launch of Boss Beauties.
Yeah, you know, there's so much that gets me excited about NFTs. I love the community that's in the Web3 and NFT space. I love how collaborative the NFT space is as well, right? Rather than just competing, everybody's collaborating and working together. But really, there's a few things that got me excited in the beginning, right? So mm-hmm. For the last decade, as I said, I'd been building this company and organization to mentor women and impact women all over the world. And a year ago, fast forward, as I said, I discovered the NFT space. I saw, I'll be really transparent. I saw the growth of this space. I saw Beeple selling an NFT for $69 million. I was sitting there. I actually saw my husband scrolling through some NFTs on OpenSea. And I was very fascinated by how intrigued he was by the industry, the space. I later saw an NFT project that launched, and I asked him, I said, how much did this NFT project make in revenue? How is the space growing so fast? And he actually shared with me that this particular NFT project generated about $2 million in revenue in 24 hours. And that got my attention, I must say. I mean, I'm really passionate about making an impact. Everything that we do as a company, we want to impact women and create change and make a difference. But we also, wanted to build a business that would scale and make money and grow. And so that got my attention. And I thought, you know what? If they can do it, mm-hmm. Why can't I? Why can't we do this, right? Bring the work that we've already been doing for a decade to impact women and mentor them and provide scholarships as well, and bring that work into the NFT space and launch a company that can impact women. So it's a little bit of the story.
And tell us, how did it go?
Well, I'm excited to say it went very well. And I must say, at the time, just like any entrepreneur, right? I'm sure each of you right now can think of something they took a risk on and they weren't quite sure it would work out. And Nu, I heard your story of creating that PowerPoint when you first, as you were getting started in your journey as an entrepreneur. And Randy, I've heard a lot of your stories, the example of moving to the East Coast and getting into Broadway, right? but I didn't know how it would turn out at first, I will say. But I'm excited and proud to share that we sold out in 90 minutes when we launched Boss Beauties, generating over $2 million. And then from that, we've also been able to start a scholarship fund and make an impact as well.
Fantastic. And what about you, Randy? I know, you've obviously been in this world for quite some time. And when we chatted, I think you mentioned you'd connected with over 60 kind of NFT creators. So, you know, what was your impetus really in kind of diving into this world, and what excited you about Boss Beauties?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, what I will say is that it's so exciting how fast the space is moving and how quickly, if you're a smart, creative, curious person, you can get up to speed. I know it feels really intimidating. So I will say that 6 months ago, I didn't even own a single NFT. And in fact, I was probably that person who was like rolling their eyes at people talking about NFTs. And now here I am 6 months later, like advising 20 NFT collections. I founded my own like venture in Web3. So, I mean, I only say that because if for anyone who's listening and feels like crypto is intimidating, there are so many women who are here to welcome you with open arms in the space. And if I could go from nothing to founder in the space in 6 months, I guarantee that anyone else can do that. I think one of the biggest things I've learned is that, you know, advising in this space, I joined Boss Bees as an advisor a few months ago, but I learned just as much from Lisa as I feel like I share about Web 2. And so it's this beautiful world of peer mentorship. It doesn't matter your background, your age, your previous experience. There's this sense that we're all in the deep end learning to swim together. And so it's thrilling and exciting and terrifying all at the same time, but I'm really grateful to find myself in the center of this new world of innovation.
Amazing. And what you know, when you met Lisa and kind of came upon the Boss Beauty project, what did you find compelling, you know, specifically about what Lisa's building?
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, I fell in love with Lisa herself as a founder. She's just such an incredible, passionate leader. You hear her speak, and you can immediately tell that this is a founder who truly just believes passionately in making things better for young women. The art is so fantastic. It was the first time that I saw represented in the NFT world a woman with a baby. As I also was a new mom at the start of the pandemic, and in fact, when I was really, really getting into NFTs in early January, I was with my baby and we both had COVID, and it was just this difficult moment. And then I discovered the caregiver, Boss Beauty, and I decided I was going to, it was like definitely the nicest NFT that I owned in my collection at the time. And I was like, I'm going to treat myself to this NFT that celebrates women who are excelling in their career and are parents at the same time. And so I had just both so much respect and enthusiasm for Lisa, and also just a very kind of emotional connection to this specific NFT.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So Lisa, you know, we obviously have, some listeners who are familiar with, you know, the world of Web3 and NFTs, some who are not. And so maybe from your perspective, if you were to define NFTs, for example, to your grandmother, how would you provide an explanation for exactly what they are?
I love this question. First of all, I love the way you've asked it as well, because we want to explain it in a way that's simple and that really cuts through the clutter. There's so much out there, right? So simply put, I would describe it as a digital asset with ownership that can be verified. So this could be digital artwork, like our Boss Beauties collection. It could be an asset from a game or even a music file or even a tweet. I love to also explain it this way. So think about it this way. Never before in history have we actually been able to buy and sell digital assets like we can today with NFTs, right? In the past, we might buy clothing or food or physical items that we can hold in our hand. But with NFTs, we can buy digital assets. And there's actually proof that, you know, Randy, you mentioned your Boss Beauty caregiver. there's proof that you own that boss beauty as well. So I find it so interesting. I mean, it really is the future that we're able now, not just to buy product things that we can hold in our hands physically, but buy digital assets, which is really exciting. I mean, it's where the future is going, right?
Yeah. And I guess also important to mention that these assets obviously go up and down in value. And, you know, maybe you can share a little bit more about how that works in the world of NFTs.
Yeah. I mean, so think about it from a collector's perspective of artwork, right? You might buy a physical painting. Randy, I know that you love art, right? You might buy a physical painting or piece of art, and you buy it at a certain price, and then the market for that particular art will go up and down. So maybe when you resell it, it could be worth more money as a collector, right? Or maybe when you resell it, it could be worth less money. I mean, you know, and that's something that's similar for the NFT space. I mean, coming into crypto as well, you know, buying your NFTs with crypto, the value of crypto will go up and down as well. But many people have bought an NFT, and just like a piece of artwork, that will go up in value, which is exciting as well. But I love to think of it from a collector's perspective of artwork. I know, Randy, you think of it the same way as well, right? Or as one example.
For sure. I also, one of the things that's always frustrated me about the arts is how many middlemen exist in a transaction. When I produce a show, I would say that there's probably more middlemen involved than even like people who are involved with the show, which can get really frustrating. And especially when you're buying art, you just really have no direct connection to the artist at all. You're going through a gallery or you're going through a website. And that artist, once they sell the piece, they have no idea what happens to it. They don't know if I gift it to someone. They don't know if it trades hands 15 more times or winds up in a museum somewhere. No idea. So what I love about this digital NFT space is A, the opportunity to have a direct connection with the artist. I feel like my own personal physical and digital art collection has doubled since I got into NFTs because I've gotten to know artists, I've collected an NFT from them, and then I've gone on to collect physical art from that same artist once I have a relationship with them. And I also have seen, you know, artists are now making money off of secondary sales and the 15th sale, and they know what happens to their art after it leaves their possession, and they make money on it. So it's an exciting time for creators.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Randy, what do you see? You know, I know you mentioned, you know, obviously participating in the world of Web2 while you were at Facebook. Well, how would you define the most important differentiators between Web2 and Web3?
Well, I think, first of all, as a founder, the biggest difference in skill set that you need is community management. In Web2, you could completely get away with building a very successful site and barely interacting with your customer base. You just had to build a platform and tools for other people to post content and other people to collaborate. With Web3, you need to be a very skilled community manager as a founder. It's an essential skill because not only do you need to build your company, but you need to be present and active in the community, speaking directly. Because when someone buys an NFT from you or buys a digital asset, they feel like they have ownership in the long-term vision of the company. And if you don't recognize and appreciate that, the community can turn on you. So I think that's one of the biggest things that someone going into Web3 needs to understand.
Definitely. And I guess, you know, for those who are thinking about, you know, to your earlier point about having a direct connection with the artists, versus, you know, where we are today, where often, you know, you buy something at a gallery, you have no real relationship. How has that shifted and why is that important?
I mean, for even just speaking from personal experience, I would say that the amount of physical art that I have in my home has doubled since I got into digital art. So I actually, wow. I think millions of new art collectors will be born from Web3. So not only do I not think that NFTs are cannibalizing traditional art, I think they're growing the traditional yeah. art space. And for me, I've always just loved having direct relationships with creators. And every tool that I've ever built in my career, like when I was creating Facebook Live back in the day at Facebook, it was all to give creators a direct tool to go to their audience. That's kind of the through line of my entire career. So for me, I think that's the number one greatest thing about Web3 is that it brings creators and collectors together without anyone in the middle.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. And just opens up so much, you know, from a commerce and community perspective that, you know, we just haven't seen before.
Absolutely. I mean, I've now collected art from artists like in Central Australia. I never would have connected with that artist before. And now like she's coming to like paint a mural in my home in real wow. life, you know, that we met on Web3. And I've now collected art from people all around the world. I bought an artist in London, a young woman. I bought her first piece that she ever put on the blockchain. I didn't even know it was her first piece. And I feel like that we will be connected for life because yeah. of that, like when, you know, to be someone's first collector. And these are just magical moments that I think, you know, when people don't understand the NFT space, it's easy to roll their eyes and feel skeptical, yeah. but these are, you know, beautiful things that are happening every day.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I'm curious, you know, for both of you, as you think about kind of investing in NFTs, what was, you know, the first project that got you excited and why?
Lisa, you go first.
Yeah, let me think. You know what? There's so many. I mean, really, I think it was around the time that we launched, actually, Boss Beauties, that I started to see many other women-led NFT projects launching. And to be quite frank, all of them got me excited. I think there's something really beautiful and unique about all of the women-led projects that are in the space, whether it be the story behind the artist and the work that artist has already been doing before they got into NFTs, and then to be able to see their dreams come to fruition through NFTs at a higher scale or larger level, that's exciting. And seeing all the stories behind the founders of these women-led projects. There's so many, it's hard to list one, but many of them are making an impact through their work, right? They launch their NFT collection and a portion of the proceeds fund a cause or give back to girls' education or another initiative. So I would say there's many that got me excited, and just to be able to see the success of many of them and their work that they had been doing for many years before coming into the NFT space, really getting more awareness through Web3 and NFTs as well.
Yeah, no, that I love that. What about you, Randy?
Well, I mean, I'm very biased to how much I love Boss Beauties, but I will also shout out the Curious Addy Trading Club collection. That was actually the first NFT that I purchased. And, you know, 6-7 months ago, there were not a lot of tools to onboard newcomers into the space. Today, there are amazing communities in Web3 that are solely dedicated to onboarding and educating newcomers. But quite frankly, when I was first getting into the space, I felt embarrassed at my lack of knowledge and I didn't know where to turn. And Mai, who is the founder of Curious Addy, spent, you know, an hour on Zoom one-on-one with me, helping me set up a MetaMask and showing me what to do and walking me through it, and then airdropped me one of the Curious Addies. And then through that, they actually went on, I think, to build the strongest community dedicated to onboarding and educating newcomers in Web3. So that's definitely a special one for me. But I think what Boss Beauties is doing is awesome. That caregiver is like one of my most special NFTs. And I love just seeing the events and the mentoring of young women. I love an NFT collection that's tied to a deep social impact cause as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I think one of the things that has caused some excitement, some concern has been to, you know, the earlier point mentioned that things are moving incredibly fast in the world of Web3 and, you know, obviously a lot of hype around that as well. I know last year NFT sales reached, you know, close to 18 billion, up from 82.5 million in 2020. So I'm curious, you know, from both of your points of view, how are you seeing kind of the market develop, and where do you see the long-term potential for projects that, you know, you think have the ability to really stand out above the crowd? Lisa?
Yeah, no, I'll jump in. So what I would say to answer this question is that absolutely to your point, the space has been growing rapidly. Looking at, you know, OpenSea and just the volume on all of the NFT marketplaces, it's been growing exponentially. But to your point, you know, it can go up and down the market. I mean, crypto being involved, right? Just like crypto goes up and down, that impacts the NFT space and the market. What I would say is how we're thinking is very long term. So looking at, we're not looking necessarily just day to day, how is the NFT space performing? What is the volume day to day? What is the floor price every single day? We're looking more long term. And we're thinking so big in long term that of building this into something that will really be a $1 billion company that will also impact women. And so I would say for our project, we're not focusing just on the day-to-day and whether people are buying the Boss Beauties more on one day or another. And overall, as the market, I think the most successful projects will be the ones that think very long-term and are building things for the long-term and bringing on the right talent and the right teams and infrastructure and all of that. But I'm curious to hear Randy's perspective as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. So just to give like the good and the realistic in this space, because we're, you know, having real talk here, I think the really exciting thing is that we're about to see some huge, more traditional players in the Web2 space get into NFTs and open that up. And I think that will bring millions of newcomers into the space, especially millions of women and all of their money. And and that will really change the kinds of projects that people want to support and back. So I think it's smart to get in and back women-led projects right now because those are the consumers coming into the space. On the side that makes me feel a little more negative, though, is the fact that crypto is a really sketchy neighborhood. Like if you think about the worst neighborhood you found yourself in at like 3 a.m. after leaving a party, like it's worse. It's worse than that. And I'm not sure it's ready for mainstream yet. People are getting scammed. There's like no one to call when you lose your assets. The scammers are getting more and more savvy. It's really difficult for newcomers. And if you're always looking over your shoulder to protect yourself, then you're not looking forward.
Sure.
And so I go back and forth being so excited about an influx of newcomers, but also like worrying that the space just isn't quite ready for them yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think we'll see a lot of evolution, but I think definitely a note of caution as well.
Yeah.
So Lisa, I know, you know, for you, fundraising was not something you necessarily were, you know, not necessarily on the roadmap, you know, when you first launched the project. How did you decide that, you know, you wanted to take in venture capital funding?
That's a great question. So how we looked at bringing on venture capital was not only about the actual capital and the funding. To us, it was really about bringing in the right advisors and investors and strategic partners. Because the NFT space is moving so rapidly, I love to say, and I think many think about it this way too, it feels a lot like we're on this rocket ship and we're all moving at a record pace so quickly, just like a rocket ship moves, right? And to be able to really build what we want to build, we wanted to bring on the right strategic partners and investors. So to us, it wasn't just about the capital per se. It was about bringing on our dream investors, like the two of you and others that have come on board as well. I know when this episode airs, our announcement will be live. So I'm really honored to have each of you come on as our strategic investors and being a part of the Boss Beauties team as well.
Amazing, amazing. And Randy, you know, from your perspective, I know you're involved with Offline Ventures, and working closely with Lisa now. What are you excited about as, you know, putting your investor lens on versus kind of a consumer, you know, who's kind of collecting NFTs?
For sure. Well, mostly I'm excited about the three of us all working closely together. I can't imagine two women that I'd rather, you know, be diving into this crazy, exciting new world with. I think there's a few things. I think, first of all, the space is going to be changing so rapidly over the next year that I think the number one goal for founders is like just still be standing by the year 2025, like just survive till then so the space matures and you know what your customers want. So I do think that raising capital is an excellent choice for founders who want to solidify that longevity in the space. But I also think because of Boss Beauty's reach, there's just, I mean, Lisa and the team have done such epic job getting, you know, real world partners who have been timid to step into crypto and NFTs, but feel comfortable partnering with Boss Beauties, which I think is a huge testament to the founding team, to the brand. And I think having that capital will really just allow the team to, you know, run for the races with those partners.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In terms of, you know, kind of what you're excited about as an investor in Web3, you know, what are the spaces that you're tracking these days?
I mean, for me, first of all, it's all about kind of the women-led Web3 projects. I'm very, very excited when I think about all of the newcomers that are coming into the space over the next 2 years, whether it's via Coinbase, NFT, Instagram, these big platforms. I think someone would be a fool to ignore the trend of millions and millions of women inevitably coming into the space and thinking about what they're going to want to buy and the communities yeah. that they're going to want to be involved with. So as an investor looking into the future, personally, it's nice to collect my women-led NFTs, but as an investor, you need to always be looking a few years out. And that to me is the only trend that I can definitively predict over the next few years in Web3.
I love that. So Lisa, switching gears a little bit, you know, it's been incredibly exciting to see the momentum behind Boss Beauties. And I know over the course of the past few months, you've had some pretty exciting new holders. Would you be able to share, you know, a couple of the ones that you're particularly, you know, happy to see?
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, we love all of our holders, everybody in our community. You know, what's amazing is that here's an example. We have dads that are buying their Boss Beauties with their daughters. And I saw a video recently where a father was picking out a few Boss Beauties and he asked his daughter, which ones do you like? And I remember she picked out the CEO or one of the future CEOs, symbolic of her. Maybe she'll be a future CEO. Maybe the two of you will invest in her company someday, right? But we're excited about all of our holders. It's been an honor, you know, to see some of the most inspiring women in different industries getting a Boss Beauty. We have Allison Felix, who's an incredible Olympian and has broken many records as an Olympic athlete. We have Eva Longoria and Reese Witherspoon. The two of you are holders. Even before you became our investors and part of the Boss Beauties team, each of you had a Boss Beauty, and I remember seeing that you had them, and I was so honored. It's really such an honor to look down. I'll see on Twitter women that I really admire in business and finance and tech, in entertainment, all different industries, getting their Boss Beauty and finding one that is really special to them. You know, maybe they're in finance and they pick up one of the finance Boss Beauties, or they're passionate about cooking and they pick out the chef Boss Beauty. So it's really amazing to see that and to build our community. But I would say really everybody is super special to us. It means a lot to have our community.
Oh, I love that. I love that. You know, just kind of going on that point, you know, obviously community is such a critical part of the success, I think, of a lot of the leading NFT projects. How do you think about developing a community around Boss Beauty? What has worked for you? What has not worked?
Yeah, you know, I would say I've never personally seen a community that's so engaged as when I've been in the Web3 and NFT space. I mean, I had seen, you know, built a company and built brands where the community is really involved in what you're building. But in the NFT space, it truly feels like our success or our milestones for Boss Beauties are felt by everybody in the community. I feel like people really take ownership of when something exciting happens or a milestone is reached or, you know, someone new, like I said, joins the Boss Beauties community and everybody is there on Twitter or Discord to welcome them into the family. But I would say what's worked has been really involving them. If there's something happening, asking for their ideas or their feedback on what we can do for a certain activation or a campaign, really involving the community in every step of the process, whether it be sharing the story of Boss Beauties, you know, promoting the project, marketing it, just, and also, you know, what's exciting is they've been a part of mentoring the Gen Z women that we mentor. So I can't tell you how exciting it is to see, you know, people that are holders of a Boss Beauty NFT later leading a mentorship chat with the women that we mentor and being a part of that. As far as what hasn't worked or challenges, I think all projects, you know, there might be challenges at times with, you know, figuring out what is the direction that we as a project or a company want to go in while and taking, you know, knowing what feedback to take from the community. I love that the community is very vocal and they have ideas and it's amazing. So I would say not just for Boss Beauties, but really any NFT project, it's important to know, to take the feedback from the community and their ideas, but also have a really clear path forward on what you're looking to build and staying true to that vision.
I definitely agree. And you can see that, you know, even as you mentioned with, you know, some of the other successful NFT projects. You know, I think Randy, one of the things that you're passionate about is education, particularly inclusion of more women within the world of Web3. I'd love for you to maybe just talk about what you're seeing and then, you know, more specifically the work that you're doing to kind of counter that.
Thanks. And you know, I'm very excited that the world seems to be catching up a bit and recognizing all these incredible women-led projects. But it's really tough to get noticed in this space if you're not in kind of the top 20 trending projects on OpenSea. And unfortunately, given that 85% of this space are men, that tends to be what's trending on OpenSea and what's being bought. And so it can be very easy if you don't fit into that demographic to feel very invisible in the space. And so that's one of the biggest things that I'm really passionate about trying to solve is discoverability. I think Lisa and Boss Beauties has done an amazing job rising through that and becoming a very, very visible collection. But I also personally, outside of Boss Beauties, want to help highlight the hundreds of NFT collections that don't have that kind of visibility. So I have a community called HUG that's made up of curators, people who are like, I would say it's like a second stop on your NFT journey, not a first stop. It's like once you've onboarded and then you're like, I'm all in on this space, like then you come over to our community. And we have people just around the clock that are discussing different projects and researching them and analyzing them and sharing information with the rest of the community. And we're actually going to be publishing some of that thought leadership soon so that anyone in the community can discover, you know, hundreds of diverse-led projects that are women-led, LGBTQIA-led, Black-led, et cetera, and discover those artists that have a little bit less of a voice in the space.
I love that. That's great. That's great. So, Lisa, you also are obviously very passionate about mentorship and female empowerment. Would you be able to share a little bit about My Social Canvas and how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. So really, it's all about mentorship for the next generation. Before starting Boss Beauties, as I said, for the last decade, I've been working to mentor women from all over the world. We'll host mentorship events where we'll have really inspiring women like the two of you. I have to say, each of you are super inspiring in what you've been able to do in your work. But we'll feature women like yourself that are role models in various industries. We've had Olympic athletes. We've had CEOs of companies, women in fashion and all different industries come to speak to our community. Before the pandemic, we used to host many in-person events. We hosted an event down at the New York Stock Exchange where we brought women to the Stock Exchange to see the opening bell and, you know, get a tour of the Stock Exchange. We brought them to Fashion Week where they got to go behind the scenes and meet Rebecca Minkoff and other designers that are in the fashion industry to see not just the exciting parts of the fashion industry, by the way, right? You think of Fashion Week as being, okay, it's really glamorous and exciting, but showing women in college and high school really what goes into a certain industry, not just the glamorous parts, right?
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, what we're trying to do through that is provide access where these young women can meet someone like both of you that have had success in your career and can see that maybe they can be a VC and invest someday like you are, or Randy, just all the work experience you have in tech and so many different avenues, right? Being able to get access to a mentor and even get access to go into the doors of one of those companies that they're dreaming about working at. One of the women in our mentorship program, we just found out she landed her dream internship at Facebook. One of them got her dream job at Chanel, actually, which is she never thought that that would be possible. And so giving them that access and mentorship and even helping them network is a part of what we've been doing as well.
That's fantastic. And I can't wait to hear, you know, more about how we can get involved with that.
Definitely. We'd love to have you involved.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, this question is for both of you. Obviously, you know, I think you both have a very strong understanding of what's happening within Web3 and obviously specifically NFTs as well. I know that there are, you know, a lot of women, unfortunately, who have not yet taken the plunge and feel overwhelmed by just the speed at which the industry is moving. So would love to hear just your advice on the best way to really start learning.
Do you want, I could jump in here. I think first of all, the important thing is that everyone has a unique financial situation. So, you know, rather than blindly take advice from anyone, there's a phrase in the space, DYOR, always do your own research. Only you know what you can afford to spend in the crypto space. But what even if you never buy an NFT or never invest in a single cryptocurrency, I feel really passionate about women just understanding the opportunities that are available in this space, such that, you know, if there does come a point in your life where you do have, it does make sense to financially invest and diversify your assets, you know exactly what to do. You're not intimidated, you're not scared, you're not left on the sidelines. So, that's something that I feel really passionately about. I mentioned the Curious Addies community is a great place to go for onboarding. BFF is a really great place to go for onboarding for women and non-binary people. And there are a lot of communities out there that are very welcoming to newcomers, no matter what your skill level is in technology at all. So I highly encourage anyone, whether they're ready to invest or not ready to invest, to at least just educate yourself, because these are the careers of the future.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa?
I agree. I mean, I love what you just shared, Randy, that not being afraid to, and I mean, it can be intimidating, this space at first. There's so much to learn, and it can be challenging to weed through so much content. There's a lot out there that you're seeing in the media and on TV and social media, right? And there's a lot of confusion. So I would say just not being intimidated and knowing, Randy, you gave the example that when you first heard about NFTs, you didn't know where to start, right? And now look, you know, you've started HUG and you're advising amazing NFT projects, and there's so much that you're doing. So I would say just not being intimidated. And as you said, Randy, learning about it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to get in and invest in crypto today or buy NFTs today. But I think just being aware about the possibilities. Maybe you're a founder. Maybe there's a founder in your portfolio, a new, you know, that has this incredible company, and maybe there's a way for them to get involved in NFTs that makes sense for their business. Mm-hmm. That stays very authentic to their mission. By no means am I saying everybody needs to get into the NFT space as a founder, but there might be ways that you could get involved, right? So I would say being aware of the opportunities in the space. And to Randy's point, there's amazing communities out there like the Curious Addies and BFF and Boss Beauties and HUG, all the amazing work you're doing. And I know all of these communities are so welcoming, and the community's ready to give advice and feedback as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. These are great, great suggestions. So, you know, this question is for both of you. This podcast, The 2%, is really focused on highlighting stories of people who are working to improve the stats around investing in diverse founders and just having more representation across the table. What do you think it will take to get parity as you think about, you know, the world, particularly of Web3 and just more representation across the board?
It's a great question. And, you know, sometimes it feels like women in this space need to do, you know, 30 times the work for half the recognition. And so, you know, maybe I think that's the story of all women across all time, not just Web3. So in many ways, I feel extremely optimistic about the influx of new female collectors and money coming into the space and what that means. At the same time, I also do have to acknowledge just the frustration of the heavy lift and burden that continually falls upon women to kind of prove our worth as founders in the space. So I think what it's going to take is like awesome female investors to invest in women. It's going to take female collectors to come in and use their wallets as activism and make political statements. It can't just fall all on the founders and the creators and the artists in the space to like keep shouting. The rest of us have to come in and build the ecosystem up around them.
Lisa?
Randy, I agree. I love what you just said, by the way, about using your wallet and the funding you have to make a statement, right? I think in many industries, not just the Web3 and NFT space, but a lot of time you'll see a female founder, even in another industry. You know, someone will share her project or her company, but maybe they haven't actually bought a product or invested financially. Mm-hmm. And so I love what you said, Randy, about speaking through your wallet and actually backing, whether it be buying an NFT or investing. The two of you are making that statement by investing in Boss Beauties, which we're so grateful for. And so from my perspective, I also agree when you had said that just like with other industries, Web 2, with Web 3, the women founders and women-led projects, we might need to work a little bit harder or perhaps a lot harder. But I'm up for that right now. And I believe in a few years, you know, we're going to share the story of Boss Beauties, and even other women founders will be able to share their success and their stories and inspire others to keep going and keep building as well.
Those are both great, great responses. And, you know, I'm obviously also very hopeful that, you know, we're all moving things in the right direction. So we're going to end things with our lightning round. It's just a series of five questions. And, you know, feel free to say whatever comes to mind first. So we'll start with, what do you want your legacy to look like? Lisa?
What do I want my legacy to look like? I would say generosity and making a difference. The more that we build Boss Beauties into a global brand, into a billion-dollar company, the more that allows us to be generous and help and create change as well.
Randy?
I would say supporting women and artists and helping them believe in themselves.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? Lisa?
Wow, it's hard to choose one, but I would say the best piece of advice would be to not define your future success based on your past. You know, all of us had a failure or two, right? We've all had challenges, and not to be defined by those challenges in the past. So I would say just keep going, never give up.
I once had someone tell me, if you don't feel like you want to like vomit from anxiety once a month, you're too comfortable in your life and your career. And like, maybe that's a little extreme. Like that, I'm not saying exactly that, but I did take away from that the importance of just being uncomfortable at times in order to push yourself forward.
If you could tell your 20-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
I'll jump in there. If I could tell my 20-year-old self one thing, it would be, it actually goes back to what I said for the past question, actually, is just never give up. You know, there was actually a moment early on in my entrepreneurial journey where I had $7 in my bank account. There were challenges. I was wanting to give up almost every day, thinking, should I keep building? Should I keep going? Should I be an entrepreneur? But I went from that $7 moment to then starting Boss Beauties and generating $2 million and, you know, in a day that will impact women and building something that could make a difference. So I want to share that story. And that's what I would tell my 20-year-old self, is just really keep going. Mm-hmm. You might be right on the edge of your miracle when you're about to give up.
Mm. So beautiful, Lisa.
Yeah.
I would say when I was 20, I wasted a lot of time searching for like that one mentor that was 50 levels above me that could solve my career for me. And it probably wasn't until a decade later that I realized that your best mentors are right next to you. They're your peers and your friends that are in the deep end with you. I wish I had learned that when I was 20.
Oh, those are both so great. And last but not least, where can our listeners find you online?
So for us, I'll jump in with Boss Beauties. We are on Twitter as Boss Beauties NFT. We're also on Instagram. And then if you want to check out our site, it's bossbeauties.com. And we're on OpenSea too. You can see our full collection on OpenSea as well.
Yep. And I am very findable on social media, perhaps too findable. No, but no, you can. I love hearing messages at Randy Zuckerberg on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, everywhere.
Fantastic. Well, this was so enlightening and so much fun. So really appreciate both of your time.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode featuring Lisa Mayer and Randy Zuckerberg. I know firsthand how overwhelming this space can feel, and I really hope that today's conversation helped you turn some of those feelings into excitement for the potential that Web3 holds for women and creators. Stay in touch with us on Instagram at Female Founders Fund and on Twitter at FCubeVC. And for those of you building the next billion-dollar businesses, we'd love to hear from you. Send all pitch decks to pitches@femalefoundersfund.com and we'll be in touch. And finally, if you're interested in working at one of our 45-plus female-founded startups, explore our job opportunities at jobs.femalefoundersfund.com. Make sure to subscribe to the 2% on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you are listening. And stay tuned for our next episode with powerful women founding and funding the future. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. That would help us out too. Until next time, I'm Anu Dugal, and this has been the 2%.